In those days, they don't have much of a Bible. The law has not been given yet. And they have to try to hear God and see what God speaks to them as well, do their best to walk the life that they want. They don't have much revelation. But today we do. We have the whole Bible. We have the book of the Old Testament and the New Testament. We are taught how to love. We are taught what we should do. They didn't know better. And as a result, there was disharmony in the home. And this, you could say, well, you know, these people were not in the ministry. I mean, even people in the ministry, subconsciously, if they didn't have a good, solid family life before, may have a subconscious tendency to do the same thing as it was done. So somebody did something and then they did the same thing and they pass on until somebody begins to get healed and break the things that flow down to the next generation. A good example is Samuel. Samuel didn't come from a perfect home either. Now I know that his mother, called Hannah, was a very godly woman. But they came from an imperfect family where Hannah was actually one of two wives that Elkanah had. And Hannah suffered a lot in their relationship because she didn't have any son. Year after year, she fought with the first wife. And so she was crying out to the Lord one day. And she said, Lord, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, she says, Lord, if you give me a son, I will dedicate my son back to you to serve you all the rest of his life. And the Lord answered her prayer. She has little Samuel. And when Samuel was young, remember, he already was born into an imperfect home. When Samuel was young, he was given to the priest. So the priest adopted him. And every year, Hannah would come and make little garments for Samuel. She probably see him at least once a year or a few times a year. So in a way, he was like an orphan. Though he had real actual parents, he was given away to the temple of God to serve under Eli, who adopted him. So Eli became like his guardian, his adopted father. Came from an imperfect home into another imperfect home. Eli was the high priest at the time. And Eli was not a very good high priest. His children were rascals. They did all kind of evil things. And in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, it says in verse 12, the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. So those were the environment in which Samuel grew up in. And think about all the kind of broken relationship and brokenness that came forth. But out of all those things, God calls Samuel to be a prophet. One of the most powerful prophets. And there are significant people in the Bible, and Samuel is one of them. In fact, when you read in the Bible about the school of prophets that came in Elijah and Elisha's time, the founder of it was Samuel. He founded fantastic things that continue even after he departed. So as far as the ministry was concerned, he was wonderful, he was powerful. But because he never had any other knowledge of family life as it should be, he could not impart. And here is a little key that I want to bring forth. You can never give what you never receive. You can never give what you never receive. You cannot give out love if you have not experienced love. Now, I don't mean necessarily love from human beings. It could be the love of God. Because not all of us have the privilege of coming from a good home or having brought up in an environment where we are greatly loved. But you can receive the love from God. But the principle is still the same. You cannot give what you have not received. You need to receive it from somewhere. God would be the first place to receive that. So Samuel never knew what a good family life and what a family life should be. in those days, they don't write as much books as we have today. Today you can go on any shelf, you can read lots of family books. Some are okay, some not so okay. All the people putting in their various theories, some scriptural, some not scriptural, some just humanistic. But Samuel had no other guidance. He knew about prophecy. He knew about visions. And he was one of the great prophets who transcend to dispensation. The Israelites were moving from the time of judgeship, when God raised up judges, into kingship or monarchy. And Samuel stood in between the moves. So he was a very important man of God. So Samuel was faithful in the ministry, he was faithful in the things of God. But sadly, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 3, his sons did not walk in his ways. Doesn't it sound like the Eli's influence being passed on? His sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, perverted justice. Now how the Israelites reacted was wrong. You know, two wrongs never make a right. Somebody can make a mistake and somebody can make something wrong and do something wrong. But how you react to it could be make it even more wrong, and you could also be wrong. Two wrongs never make a right. The Israelites were wrong in trying to move away from God into a kingdom before its time, just because there was a problem created as a result of what I call, if I can use these words, a vacuum in Samuel's life. He never knew what a good family was, probably spent a lot of time in his prophetic gift, but neglected his own family. And he didn't have the ability to train his sons, because he has never received that kind of ability and training from the people he grew up under. So that kind of brokenness can be passed down. That kind of imperfection can be passed down from one generation to the next generation. Sadly, it continues until someone meets the Lord and gets healed from those things. It's very likely that if you grew up in a home where your parents quarrel a lot, that subconsciously, it makes you a quarrelsome person. And sometimes you hide it for many years. Then later when you get married, or you get close to someone, or get into a partnership, or close relationship with someone, all of this comes out because close proximity brings the best or the worst in you. And then suddenly you realize, where did all these things come from? From your background. And you never knew it was there. We all know that none of us can blame our background for who we are, because we have Jesus. And that's the key for these messages, is to help us to find healing in God. I believe as much as physical healing, the healing of our heart and the healing of our soul is so important. Because these are things that are permanent. Many times if you grew up in a home that has very little love, then most likely you find it difficult to form close relationships and loving relationships with people. Or perhaps you grew up in a home where a lot of anger is shown. Then most likely, subconsciously, it's all there in your imagery, in your subconscious, and it may come out in your times of weakness. And the key in this series is, can we be healed? Can the leopard change his spots? That's what the prophet asked. You know the key to that answer? Yes, if the leopard gets born again and becomes a sheep. The leopard cannot change as long as it's a leopard. But that's where the born again experience is so powerful. So we look at the life of Joseph. Now the reason we consider Joseph is because Joseph begins to find healing and begins to change the direction of his descendants after him. And here is where the pain that they go through. See, one pain leads to another and another and another, and it keeps expanding. Because of Jacob's parents, it passed on that because he loved one son above the rest, one tiny little error and mistake produced so much disharmony in the home. And when his brothers in verse 4, look at what made them very angry. Genesis 37 verse 4. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. So, where was all this anger coming from? Where was all this hatred coming from? Because of the father doing the wrong thing. And so, one reaction brings another reaction. One wrong brings another wrong. And it keeps multiplying. And then it brought them further. Now, it so happened that Joseph also was gifted with dreams. Now, if he had brought the dream in a situation where the whole family is a loving family, they're always supportive of one another, always helping one another in God, 12 wonderful musketeers, you know, all band together, one for all and all for one. And if Joseph had brought up that dream and said, hey, brethren, I got this dream and about this thing happening, you know how all the others were answered? They say, hallelujah. All the best to you, Joseph. We pray that that will be so that he could lead us and we all follow along. Nice environment. Nothing wrong with the gift. Nothing wrong with the dream. But if you have an environment where they were jealous of one another, they were angry at one another, the father was not doing the right thing to them, and in the midst of... Then they saw him getting all these nice clothes that they say, we don't have the same things. And there was all this disharmony. And in the disharmony, Joseph says, I have a dream. You all were bowing to me. Oh, that stirred them up. So, here is where we see, right things can stir the wrong things when the environment is wrong. Isn't that funny? Right things can stir the wrong things when the whole environment is wrong. So we need to get the environment correct. That is why, brethren, one of the keys one of the keys in life is to learn how to disagree without being disagreeable, how to discuss, and how to relate to people. Because there will never be any human being you find on earth that you could agree 100%. And one of the keys in life is learn how to relate in a loving relationship with whatever differences that are there. If the environment is right, and there's a loving, peaceful environment, you can bring up the right thing, and it will still be alright. And you can bring up sometimes the wrong thing, and it's dealt with in the right way too. Well, when the environment is wrong, you try to bring out the right thing, it's finished. That's why I advise spouse, husbands and wife, when you are not in a proper relationship, or when it could be friends or prayer warriors together, intercessors together, when the environment is not peaceful, don't try to bring up some right thing until you heal the environment. Because the right thing can aggravate the situation. Think about two spouses quarreling, right? And they are quarreling, and in the midst, one of them starts quoting the Bible. Yes, what they quote could be scriptural, but it's just a right thing in a whole wrong environment. It's going to be terrible, right? And so you end up with two persons quoting the Bible. Sometimes you have church disputes in the same way, right? The whole environment is not loving. Right? People quarrel over doctrines and all that. Think about, let's say if people are quarrelsome, right? And they're quarreling over some things. That's how churches split, and how, you know, all of us, if you've been long enough in the ministry, you've seen church split and all those things. Question, what kind of environment was around? No love, no peace. Now, in that environment, would you want to have a debate? And say, all right, let's debate and see which is more scriptural. And here you're quoting the Bible, they're quoting the Bible, you're quoting history, they're quoting history, and all this. Does it help anyone? It doesn't, because the environment needs healing.